You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
So I'm talking to this young lady the other day about her career plight. She graduated from college recently and has only been able to find temp work since graduated from college. And unfortunately, she's not alone in her plight. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you could join us today, and we invite you to share your questions and comments by phone, text, or email. To call or text, join us at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or you can email me at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. During my conversation with this young lady, whom I will call Sally, that's not her real name, but that's what I'll call her, I learned that she went to school to become a fashion designer slash consultant slash buyer, so, you know, basically be in the fashion world. She loves fashion. She loves talking to people about fashion. And the question we tried to answer at that point was, how do you break into the field? She knew she wanted to be in the fashion field, but she wanted to didn't know how to break into it. Now, two things I want to kind of share with you about this discussion with Sally was, first of all, how I found out that she loved fashion, and then secondly, I want to talk about what I told her to do next with finding a job in that field. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is how I found out. She actually did not tell me until probably 30 minutes into our nearly one-hour conversation that she had gotten a degree in the fashion design field. I had uncovered her passion for fashion, no pun intended there, with that rhyme, but I had uncovered that by asking her a bunch of questions. And one of the questions that I asked her, I wanted to share with you today, because if you are struggling with your career calling, trying to figure out what kind of work God designed you to do, this question is one of the key ones, not the only one, but it's one of the key ones that will help you to start uncovering maybe what God designed you to do, all right? And the first question I asked was something like this: has there been a common thread in your life of something that you've loved to do that everybody recognizes that you're good at and that you love it? And at first, she didn't really have anything to say. Matter of fact, she didn't have anything to say because she couldn't really pinpoint that. So I went ahead and gave her my own personal testimony, and I let her know that when I was asked that question, or actually when I asked that question of myself some years ago now, I realized that there was one thing that I have always intrinsically loved to do, been great at it, and I'm not saying that to be boastful. I'm saying that because people have told me time and time and time again, you're really good at that, and that really helps me, and I get such a big kick out of that, I can't stand it. And it basically is teaching. As I go back to elementary school, junior high, high school, college, it never fails. I remember in all those ages and beyond, you know, outside of school, in the workplace, when there's a complex topic, say, for example, that a professor or a teacher shared, I would normally understand it pretty early on. Many of my fellow classmates would not, and they'd come to me rather than the teacher to have me explain it to them. And that skill has gone with me my entire life. I intrinsically love it. I'm willing to give people time, free time, and you know, in some cases, paid time, depending on what they're asking for. But I just love to give people time and advice and help them understand complex situations or complex topics, and make it simple, make it understandable so they can get it. Now, when I said that to her, when I gave her my personal testimony about how I had identified that common thread in my life, she lit up. And now we were on the phone. We were not person to person. So she lit up verbally, and it was obvious that she was getting excited because she loved to do the same thing, but she loved to do the same thing specifically when it came to fashion-related topics. She told me the story about how, you know, friends and family just, you know, one particular family member had told her recently, I don't even know why I go shopping without you, because you're the one who always, you know, picks the good stuff out for me. And she loves to go and match fashion. So this common thread is not something I've come up with, by the way. The first time I ever heard it was articulated by a guy named Earl Nightingale. Earl Nightingale has been dead for now, gosh, 30, 35 years. He died in the late 1980s. Wrote a lot of books, did a lot of audio recordings about various personal development issues. And the way he articulated this concept was this. Go back to your old school yearbooks in high school and college and just read what kind of comments people have written down about you. Not always, of course, but very oftentimes in those comments, you'll see a common thread. Feedback you get from your friends and your family members and your professors and your teachers, you'll see a common thread. Your coworkers, you'll see a common thread about what people recognize in you as being excellent. And odds are pretty good if you're doing those things excellently naturally, you probably also enjoy it naturally. And that's a tremendous clue on finding God's career calling for your life. Because that's one of the perfect matches, something that God gave you a passion for and gave you a skill set for. And your goal, your desire should be to find work that will mend, or should say, bring those two things together. I have learned that it doesn't matter what I'm teaching. I can be teaching about career-related matters. I could be teaching Sunday school at church. I could be teaching the kids a Bible lesson at church. I could be teaching, real estate, which is one of the things I do. I teach at a real estate school. You know, I can be teaching anything. Just the act of teaching, I love. And that kind of lends to the idea that your goal is to find out what type of work God designed you for. It doesn't necessarily mean you'll be in this specific job or in this specific company forever. You might be. I don't know. But that type of work that meshes with or crosses over with or crashes into, if I can say it that way, your passion and your skill set, that's a great, great sign there. Now, this is not the only thing you should do to identify your calling. Just asking yourself that one question isn't certainly not enough. I'm a firm believer that you take some sort of career assessment test to be able to look at your entire package. When I say that, I mean that's your passions, your skills, your abilities, your interests, your values. And there's several different places that offer career assessments like that. A free one that'll get you started. It won't look at the entire person, but it'll look at parts of you, maybe your personality and your skills a little bit. There's a free one on a website that I've mentioned before on the program that I will link to again on my website, careercallings.net, and then going straight to the radio page, careercallings.net/radio. You've got Onet Online. Onet Online is a great website, and they do have a link to a free assessment test, career assessment test, that will give you some starting guidance as to how God designed you. Even though it's not a Christian website, it doesn't ask you about anything biblically, it'll still be a good start. I am a trained consultant with Crown Ministries to offer the Career Direct assessment that is biblically based, that was created by the late Larry Burkett some years ago, which was designed to help Christians understand their entire person, their personality, their skills, their interests, their abilities, their values, their interests, and help them see themselves biblically so that they can get a good picture of the entire package God designed them with. Now, going back to this young lady who I'm still calling Sally, as we talked about that, once we identified that fashion was her passion, so to speak, that still begged the question, how do I find a job in that kind of atmosphere? And I sent her to an article that I've referenced before on the program that I've written called The Strangest Secret of Networking. And that is also on careercallings.net. And I'm not going to read all that again, but one of the key things in that article was a quote that I have in there that was actually came from a group called Crossroads Career Network. Crossroads Career Network was founded by Brian Ray, who is a former executive with Chick-fil-A restaurants, Chick-fil-A restaurant chain, and he's developed an entire course, 7-step course on how Christians can find God's calling for their lives and also find work in matching up with their calling. And in that course, there's a time when he says most employers first try to recruit people through personal contacts before they advertise a position or post on the internet. Of all the jobs that get filled, 50% are filled, more than 50% are filled through networking. So what I stressed to Sally was this, you know, in addition to whatever she's doing by contacting temp agencies, which obviously she has, providing applications to any kind of online internet-based job sites like Career Builder or Monster or whatnot, she really needed to dig deep into developing her network or reaching into the network that she already has right now, the circle of people that she knows that would be willing to help her. And she has done some of that, we talked about, but this was a struggle that she, a specific thing she mentioned she was having trouble with. And I want to share with you the advice I gave her. She said specifically, I've had a few names given to me of people that are in this field of work that I want to learn more about, but I can't get them to contact me back, which is certainly not unusual. I mean, people are busy, perhaps busier than they have been a long time, and it's just harder and harder and harder to give time to people, even if it's just giving advice. So what I suggested to her was two things. Number one, make sure that you're persistent. In sales, they tell you that you need to contact someone 7 to 10 times before you get any kind of response. That really is the same way when you're asking for help networking. In her case, she had made that number of contacts with these people, and they still were unresponsive. So then I told her, bribe them. Bribe them for their time. And the example I gave to her was, some years ago I was trying to market something to a group of people that is historically unresponsive. As a matter of fact, it was radio station managers, as I was trying to market a different type of radio program years ago. And what I did was send them a letter by mail, but I sent it in a package that included a nice unopened pack of peanut M&Ms. Every package came with its own package of M&Ms and a letter that says, hey, just want to talk to you about this program. I'll be calling you in a week or so, and hope to get to talk to you. So I sent those out, and I followed up a week later, and for most of the folks I sent them to, they did take my call, or they would return my voicemail after that, and almost always I'd get a chuckle out of them. I can't believe you did that. And the funniest thing is I did that, and some of you old enough, some of you may not be old enough, but I would think most people would remember back around 2001, 2002, this is when I was doing it, and there, right after the 9/11 tragedy, there was an arsenic issue in the mail, postal service. There's some people that were sending out mailers with arsenic in them, and I had sent these food packages like a month or two after the arsenic scare, so I got a lot of jokes out of that as well. I didn't even think about the timing of that, but nonetheless, all those phone calls were much warmer. People were willing to talk to me because I gave them a gift, and I recommended that she do the same. We'll pick up with this topic when we get back from the break. Go grab a snack, but don't go away.
It was so refreshing to see people who knew what they believed so strongly they were willing to argue about it. She's like, they don't understand how gray our world is.
Reaching millennials is like reaching another culture. And Jolene Urlacher, founder of Leading Tomorrow, will show us how. Next time on Licensed to Parent.
Licensed to Parent every Monday at 11 a.m. on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
Hey, listen up. It's time to love your heart. Go to clevelandclinic.org/loveyourheart and learn what really matters to that lovable heart of yours.
Michael is an adoptee himself. Gina was a birth mother at age 20. Together, the Smiths have adopted children. And through all of these experiences, they are uniquely qualified to share the love of Christ with all parties involved in the adoption process through Hope Embraced Adoption Agency. Hope Bound Ministries has partnered with the Smiths to make adoption services available to families who otherwise would not be able to afford adoption services. To donate to or to apply for financial help regarding the Smiths' adoption services, please visit hopebound.org. That's hopebound.org.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
All right, Maestro, I was talking about candy before we left for the break. Did you run out and get your peanut M&Ms?
Peanut M&Ms, those are the ones I really like.
You know, those are awesome. But let me tell you what else is awesome. If you haven't tried them yet, the pretzel M&Ms. Have you had those yet?
I've had some of those, too. Those are good also.
Those are awesome. You know, right, let's just go have lunch today. And we'll start off with an appetizer, the regular M&Ms. That's a good way to start.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the peanut for the main course. And we'll do the pretzel for dessert.
How's that sound? That's good. And you can also put M&Ms inside of popcorn.
Yes,
take popcorn, like microwave popcorn, while it's in a bag after it comes out.
Yeah.
Pour the M&Ms in there, keep them, then tighten up the bag, and it'll start to melt the inside of the M&M, not the outside, because remember, they don't melt on the outside.
Right.
And then your M&Ms are soft when you eat them with popcorn. There you go. Just a little something.
You know, you learn something new every day. That is awesome. You know, I've got one of the biggest sweet tooths in the upstate, so that might be my lunch endeavor today. You just never know. Welcome back to Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose here, of course, is to help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. We're glad you can join us back after the break. You can reach me by text or phone at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Before the break, we were talking about Sally's plight, young lady who recently graduated from college and with a fashion design degree and was struggling to find her first career job in line with that degree. We talked a little bit about that conversation I had with her over the phone. One thing I mentioned during that conversation before the break was to take some sort of career assessment test to kind of help you understand how God designed you. And what I want to do is kind of focus in on one of the things that a comprehensive assessment will help you to understand. And the whole thing is personality, you know, skills, abilities, interests, values. I want to talk about the value side of things. A lot of people miss this part. When they look for jobs, they don't really consider the value portion of a job search. And that's a big mistake because you can be in a career field that is a great match for your interests, for your skills, for your personality strengths. And you can still experience job dissatisfaction and stress if your work does not match your values. For example, many people value working outdoors and will never feel totally comfortable working in the confines of a building. Others, for example, may need to know that they're helping people directly in their work, and they'll never be satisfied working alone or with machines all day long, all right? So those are a couple of examples of how there's a mismatch between the work and somebody's values. Many people think that they can be happy doing most anything if it makes them successful in the material sense, but all too often they find themselves unfulfilled and burned out a few years into their careers. And this did come up with my conversation with Sally a few days ago. I mentioned to her that if she finds, you know, she had identified in the conversation that, you know, she wasn't being boastful, but she felt like she was good at pretty much anything she wanted to set her mind to. She had a track record of success. And I said, that's not unusual. A lot of folks are in your boat, but the problem is a lot of folks burn out. You know, they might be good at a job for a while, but then that desire to be excellent in that job wears out because there's no underlying passion for that kind of work. And eventually they burn out and move on to something else. And she said, well, that's happened to me. I'm probably in a job a year and a half before I just can't stand it anymore. And she needs to move on. And her problem is that she's not found that career yet that matches with her passion that she identified as in the fashion industry. So one of the values to look for in your employer, in other words, you want to when you're interviewing for jobs, yes, the employer is interviewing you to find out what value you can bring to that employer. You have just as much right to discreetly ask questions of that employer to find out, will they bring enough value to you? Because they need to fulfill your need, not only for money, but also for personal fulfillment. Because we were all created by God to do work that's in line with His callings, His design, His purposes for our lives. And if we go get a job just for the money, it won't be long before we realize we're not personally fulfilled on a spiritual level, because that's not the kind of work God designed us to do. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when you need to take a job that you don't like, that you're not passionate about, because you do need the money. I get that. I'm not saying you shouldn't. That's a short-term Band-Aid to a long-term problem. The goal should be to take the short-term Band-Aid, do a fantastic, excellent job as unto the Lord in that job you don't like, because we're commanded to do everything to God's glory, which means we do everything we do excellently, whether we like it or not. I get that. But the long-term goal is to then find out that career field that God's called you and designed you to do, the kind of work He's designed you to do. Now, as you're looking for employers, one of the values you want to make sure that you find in that employer is that they actually listen to you when you're an expert on a matter, rather than trying to impose on you an impossible task like this.
Our company has a new strategic initiative to increase market penetration, maximize brand loyalty, and enhance intangible assets. In pursuit of these objectives, we've started a new project for which we require 7 red lines. I understand your company can help us in this matter.
Of course. Walter here will be the project manager. Walter, we can do this, can't we?
Yes, of course. Anderson here is our expert in all matters related to the drawing of red lines. We've brought him along today to share his professional opinion.
Nice to meet you. Well, you all know me. This is Justine, our company's design specialist.
Hello.
We need you to draw 7 red lines, some with green ink and some with transparent. Can you do that?
No, I'm afraid...
Let's not rush into any hasty answers, Anderson. The task has been set and needs to be carried out. At the end of the day, you are an expert.
The term red line implies the color of the line to be red. To draw a red line with green ink is... Well, if it's not exactly impossible, it's pretty close to being impossible.
What does that even mean? Impossible?
I mean, it is possible there are some people, say, suffering from color blindness, for whom the color of the lines doesn't really make a difference. But I'm quite sure that the target audience of your project doesn't consist solely of such people.
So in principle, this is possible.
I'll simplify. A line as such can be drawn with absolutely any ink, but if you want to get a red line, you need to use red ink.
What if we draw them with blue ink?
It still won't work. If you use blue ink, you'll get blue lines. And what exactly did you mean when you talked about the transparent ink?
How to better explain? I'm sure you know what transparent means.
Yes, I do.
And what a red line means. I hope I don't need to explain to you.
Of course not.
But you need to draw a red line with transparent ink.
Could you describe what you imagine the end result would look like?
Oh, come on, Anderson, what have we got here? Kindergarten?
No, I'm just trying to...
Let's not waste our time with these unproductive quarrels. The task has been set. The task is plain and clear. 7 red lines. It's not 20, it's just 7. Anderson, I understand you're a specialist of a narrow field. You don't see the overall picture. But surely it's not a difficult task to draw some 7 lines.
Exactly. Suggest a solution. Now, any fool can criticize. No offense. But you're an expert. You should know better.
Okay. Let me draw you 2 perfectly perpendicular red lines. And I will draw the rest with transparent ink. They'll be invisible, but... I'll draw them.
Would this suit us? Yes, this will suit us.
Yes, but at least a couple with green ink.
Oh, and I have another question, if I may. Can you draw one of the lines in the form of a kitten?
Of course I can. I can do anything. I can do absolutely anything. I'm an expert.
Oh yes, oh yes. You want to, you want to actually, yeah, be listened to when your feedback is given. Unfortunately, they did not listen to what was his name again? I missed it. Andrew
Anderson.
Anderson. There it was. I knew it started with an A. Yeah, Anderson. They didn't listen to him. Oh well, just make sure that you check out whether or not your employers will value your feedback. All right, talking about values, I do want to actually talk a little bit more about values, workplace values. Again, as I mentioned before, the parody, a lot of people don't really consider, you know, when they're going to go work at a job, whether or not that job's workplace values will match up with theirs. So I just want to give you a quick rundown of several different values that come into play. First of all, your values about the work environment. There are, on the career direct assessment that I provide to people, there are 12 workplace or work environment values that we look at, and our goal is to find out what your top three or four are. Here's a quick rundown of them all. Equality. Do you want things to be equal and fair in the workplace? Challenge. You want to be challenged. Well organized. Is the workplace well organized? And let me tell you, if you're an organized person and the workplace is not, you will be miserable. All right? So that's something to consider. A clean environment. Flexible hours, harmony in the workplace. In other words, there's not a lot of strife. Stability in the workplace. Is this a relatively stable job? A stable company. Independence in your work. Variety in your work. Travel in your work. Adventure and risks. And being outdoors versus being indoors. Now, that's the whole gamut of workplace environment values we look at. And our goal is to find the top three or four that apply to you. And because, you know, if everything else in that company matches up with God's design for you vocationally, but the values are a mismatch, you're either going to ask yourself to leave at some point or they're going to ask you to leave at some point because of that value mismatch. Now, another set of values is what we call work outcome values. There's eight of those: helping others, leadership, continuing education. In other words, does that job give you an opportunity to advance professionally through continuing education? Career progression, are there opportunities for advancement? Is there intellectual stimulation there? Is there security there in the workplace in terms of not security guards, but again, is your job relatively stable? Does it have an opportunity for you to generate high income or not? And will your employers recognize you for your accomplishments, or will they just ignore you when you do something well? Those are things to consider. And then finally, your life values are something to consider. Here are nine of those: serving God, serving others, family, friends, integrity, achievement, leisure. Is your job going to give you an opportunity for some leisure time? Making money, and aesthetics. In other words, is your workplace going to be trashy, or is it going to look pretty nice? Now, if your top three goals are to serve God, serve others, and serve family, those are your top three life values, and you got a workplace that sends you overseas 9 months out of the year and puts you in a position where you cannot enjoy those things, then you got a big mismatch in values that can really, really hurt. All right, that's it for our program today. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get a copy of this show, feel free to visit careercallings.net/radio, where you can download a free podcast and links to the articles and such that were referenced. How did God design you to bring value to the world? Well, that's a question only you and the Holy Spirit can answer. And if you don't know the answer, it's time to start looking.